And of course, another hour to go of open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. By the way, Wiki says Donald Trump was born in Queens, New York in 1946. So I don't know anything about his birth certificate. We're going to have another birth certificate story again. You never know. Okay, welcome back. We're ready to go for another hour of open lines here as we talk about all kinds of things on Coast to Coast, whatever is affecting you, strange things you see every day. Let's go to Scott in Iowa to get things started. Scott, thanks for holding so long.
Yeah. Hi, George.
Hi there.
I just have a question to you because you are a very gentle man. You definitely know a lot. So the thing is, what's kind of surreal to me about this election on the Democratic side, and I'm not picking on anybody.
Okay.
You got a Hillary running it. Man, gee, just for the last 6 months, there are plenty of things that come to mind that, you know, are very questionable about this lady. I mean, one would be fair to say that.
Now, one would be very fair to say that.
Right, George. And like I say, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. We don't do that as, you know, the Coast family. We don't do that. But then she's running. And I mean, isn't this a little surreal to you? She's running with her husband. I understand that. She's running with the next president. I understand that. She's also being supported or running with her husband, who is one of two impeached presidents. And yet nobody says anything.
No. You know, I was thinking about that tonight, too, Scott. I mean, they don't bring up the sexual situation. The impeachment of lying.
Yeah.
It's weird. It really is strange. It's like it doesn't exist.
Yeah, George, I grew up when you did. I cannot see Richard Nixon, who stepped down and was not impeached.
He was not impeached.
It was Andrew Johnson that was actually Lincoln's vice president that was impeached. So...
And Clinton was not convicted, just so everybody knows.
He was
convicted.
And while he was in, he was the last president to run both the national debt and federal deficit in the green, and with the help of Henry Kissinger, stopped the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
But still, as much as that man was hated at one time, and I think that's the right word, could you imagine him going to a George Bush or somebody and saying, "Well, I'll be right by your side"? That would have ruined the whole thing. I don't know. I'm going to take my, you know, more of an answer from you off the air. And I know you know a lot about it. I just find it surreal.
It is surreal. It is like you can do just about anything and nobody cares and get away with it. It doesn't seem to be an issue. I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, divorces have occurred over things that happened. But there's more things afoot here. And they probably believe that the staying together politically was smarter than separating or getting a divorce over the Lewinsky situation and God knows what else. You know, we've all heard those stories. Let's go next to Preston in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hello, Preston. Good morning to you.
Hey, George.
Hi.
It's good to talk to you again. I know last time we talked, we had a little conversation about TWA. I don't know if you remember
that.
Uh-huh.
I do remember that.
Yeah, so, anyway, this time I just want to talk to you about, I know you do the Watchers, and you're really into UFOs. Have you ever heard anything about Alaska?
Well, I know about Nome, Alaska. That's a strange situation there. Remember that movie? The Fourth Kind?
Yes.
That's strange. But when you say Alaska, what do you mean specifically?
You ever heard of HAARP?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've had Nick Begich on many times to talk about that.
Right. Well, can you think of a place on Earth that would simulate space or how aircraft move? Any place on Earth, cold, where it's dark a lot of times of the year, you can do things, no one can really see it other than, say, Alaska?
It's like secret
things? Mimic the conditions of outer space.
Yeah.
You know, perfect place to test.
What are they testing?
You know what I mean? I mean, why would you test at one place that everyone knows, you know, Area 51? You know, I mean, those of us in the military, we know what is Groom Lake installation.
Sure.
You know, they developed stealth weapons there, developed the F-117 stealth fighter, the B-2 bomber. But you're not, everyone's satellites already look at that. Why not test in the middle of the tundra in Alaska?
Maybe they are.
Maybe they are. You know, I mean, do you think that, you know, that would be a smart move by the government?
I think they're testing in Antarctica myself, way south.
It'd be very hard to get a satellite to look at that, wouldn't you say? I mean, to have a satellite looking just at, you know, most of them are geosynchronous, or they fly around the center of the Earth. But to get a polar orbit?
Can you do that? I think you could, but you can do it.
Yeah, but everyone would know you're doing it. I mean, we track all space. We track the old pieces of Apollo.
Probably only the Russians and Chinese would know.
Right, you know, but, I mean, Alaska would make perfect
sense.
But
when you say testing, what are they doing?
They're crashed aircraft. You know, I mean, how else can you explain the giant leaps in technology from the 1970s to where we are now?
Reversed engineering. They've been giving, right?
I mean, you're talking about computers that once filled the size of rooms and then in 20 years.
Now they're in your smartphone.
Right. You know, you're talking about Pokemon Go, talking about GPS apps, all that kind of stuff. You can't just miniaturize that without having some sort of assistance.
Oh, I know it. I agree with you.
You know, and I just think people should stop looking at Nevada and start looking at places like Alaska or, like you said, Antarctica. Perfect.
Now, do you know anything about Alaska specifically that something's happening, or are you just guessing?
Well, I can tell you from the military side of things, George, that there's a lot of airspace up there that's restricted for no reason.
Ah.
I mean, you look at Area 51 has very restricted airspace.
And it's not because we're close to Russia up there.
Right. No, I'm talking about like 200 miles north of Anchorage, like the HARP facility. Like you go north up past Fairbanks, you know, restricted airspace that the Air Force controls, and they won't let the Army or any other organizations come back there and play. It's just for them.
Next time Nick Begich is on, I'm going to ask him if he knows anything about that beyond just HARP.
Absolutely, George. I mean, there's something going on up there. I mean, there's no reason why it would have the same restrictions as, say, the White House.
All right. Noted. We will check into it. Another text message. What do you got, Tom?
I just sent you a link. They found a craft in 2015 in Alaska. So check it out.
What do you mean a craft?
It just says, found a craft.
Like a UFO craft?
Well, yeah, that's what it
is. Yeah, I'll check it out.
Ted in Washington, D.C., do you think we will ever see a global currency?
I hope not.
I hope not, too.
I hope not. They've been trying with the euro and the Amero, which they want, but I hope not. But to answer his question, what I hope and what might happen are two different things. I think it's very conceivable we'll have a global currency. Everything will be connected and tied together. Probably 20 to 40 years.
Now we'll be around.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
What would they do? Wipe out your bank account and start over?
Start over. They'll just give you the equivalent of whatever it's worth. There wouldn't be dollars. There would be just a special currency. And you know what? It would all be digital.
Yeah, for sure. But how do you know you're getting what's worth what you have now?
You probably aren't. They're probably going to take money from you.
And who's they?
Anything's happening.
Okay. Unbelievable.
Let's go to William in Skype in Ohio. Hello, William. Go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to make a comment about one of the callers that was on before the break about the health insurance.
Yes.
And I got a flip side to that coin. I know a lot of people that do say it's a good program and they like it, but I think those are ones that never use it. My parents, I help them with their financial stuff, and they had to drop their insurance this year. $1,200 a month with a $10,000 deductible.
Way too much.
And it wouldn't even cover your normal doctor visit.
Way too much. Was that part of Obamacare?
Yes.
Jeez.
The only thing offered, and last year they had got some very minor help on it, but they got penalized and had to pay all of that back, plus some additional penalties because some other bills came up. Dad used some of his retirement, and it come out as he spent too much of his own money without telling them first.
Unbelievable.
You have to tell them
everything.
At the beginning of the year, how much your income will be for the entire year, and if you go over by any amount, they got you.
They penalize you.
Exactly. It's just, you know, I just get aggravated, you know, people saying how great it is. Well, if they try to use it, I think they'll, you know, change their tune.
Well, most of the health executives I know tell me it's not good at all.
And nobody seems to even understand it, whether it's insurance companies, doctors, hospitals, you know, nothing. You know, nobody.
No, I still want to bring some kind of group health plan or something to Coast to Coast listeners. I think that'd be great.
We need, I don't know, we need something, that's for sure.
We really do. Hey, thanks for the call. Dennis in Philadelphia, welcome to the program. Hi, Dennis.
George, how are you?
Good.
Well, I spoke to you.
Thank you.
Let's see, about that caller that the last gentleman was speaking about, some of the comments he made, which was really, really ridiculous. I mean, you know, it seems like everything comes down to racism or, you know, things like that. But let me just say this. You know, this is the only election, really, that I am really excited about.
How come?
You know, if he doesn't win, forget about it. I'm done. Well, I'll tell you why. You know, when it comes down to, well, let me just put it to you like this. Dick Morris was absolutely right. I'm down here right now with the war zone, with the DNC. I live in Philly. And I got into some conversation with some of these people. And the one question that I've asked, and there was also people with the clipboard in front of the market that I went to, which are trying to gather a petition to knock Trump off the ballot, which is ridiculous. And I always ask these people, why are you not for Trump, or why do you want to knock him off the ballot? And they're 100% of the time, their response is, he's racist. So here's the challenge that I always ask people, and I've been doing this for 3 months now on Facebook with some of my friends and some of the listeners to my show, and, you know, to people in general that I speak to. I always say, give me one written statement by Donald Trump in his own words. Now, I'm not talking about a written statement by some either a columnist who interpreted
Right. Something that he's done.
Something that he said on video, on audio, okay, or something that he wrote himself that was anti-black, anti-Hispanic, anti-Muslim. They can't do it. They can't do it. Let me tell you why. Number one, as far as he never wrote anything that was anti-black. Number one, as far as the immigrant situation goes, he never said that he wants to stop Hispanics, period, from coming into the U.S. He said he wants to stop Hispanics from coming into the U.S. illegally.
Right. As a matter of fact, he's gone out of his way to say lawful immigration is good.
Right. He said he wants people to bring their experience to the U.S. that they have over in Mexico and the Central and South America and so forth. And
as far as legally, he stresses that.
And as far as the Muslim situation goes, he never said he wants to stop Muslims from coming into the U.S. He said, and this is what I always ask people, and when I ask them this question, I get the deer caught in the headlight looks. I say to them, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, if you needed a babysitter, and you wanted to bring somebody into your house to watch your child, to stay in your own home, would you allow somebody to come into your home that has no ID, no paperwork, no way to verify whether they have a criminal record or not, or they're associated with some radical organization? Would you allow them to do that? And they say, no. I said, well, then why would you allow people to come into the U.S. under the same situation? I said, you have no idea who these people are, whether they belong to a radical organization. You know, you have no idea who.
Precisely. Whether they're convicts that have been let out of jail to be sent over here. You don't know that.
Exactly. And that's the whole point. When somebody raises the charge of racism, I call that a conversation stopper. What it is that you have people that can't respond to the facts, can't put up a rational argument against what you're saying. So what they do, they resort to labeling you a racist. Now, that takes the onus off of them because they can't respond, and now it shines the spotlight on the person who are making these facts, and now they're forced to, first of all, it derails the conversation, and now they're forced to try to prove that they're not a racist, and everything that they were saying has now gone by the wayside, you see. And it's the people that use the charge of racism that are the true racists themselves. Just like a person who constantly suspects their spouse of cheating, 9 times out of 10, they're the ones who are doing the cheating.
They're the guilty ones.
Exactly. That's what I just wanted to raise here. So thanks a lot again, George, for the time. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, that's what we do. We do open lines during the middle of the week. that are a little different than what we do on a Friday, generally. Fridays are a little spookier, scarier, fun, a little entertaining. I'm still getting emails from people when I mentioned your favorite candy when you were a kid. Man, they rolled in on Friday. They really did. Time for a couple more before the break, and then we'll come back with more open lines. Eddie in Rochester, New York. Hello, Eddie. Good morning.
Hi, George. Thanks for accepting the call.
Sure thing.
Listen, I've been in radio. I was a radio announcer and everything. I had run my radio talk show and everything.
Oh,
and
great. Where was that?
So great. That was a few years ago, but the radio station was sold. So everybody got...
That happens. Yeah, that happens.
Radio and TV and all that stuff. But this is the fact that in history, if people just read history, a divided party will never win an election. Teddy Roosevelt lost to Woodrow Wilson because the Republican Party was divided. Woodrow Wilson was Democrat. That the party was not divided, and it won. And you know, we have issues. Nixon, that was a criminal offense, and they're worrying about Hillary Clinton's emails. You know, I mean, there's a time when you have to get over some issues and everything. And the Democratic Party has been united, not what we saw last week in the Republican convention with protests and all this stuff. You know, I mean, it's just a concern. And, you know, Trump is good as a reality show star, but Running America is not a reality show. It's running a government. It's representing the people of the United States. And you know what? The most beautiful lady that I saw in the world, was in New York Harbor, Miss Liberty.
I love that. That is well said. Well said, Eddie. We're coming up to the top of the hour. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Lots of great information going back and forth there. If you're looking for a great new novel to read, don't forget our book, Night Talk, Two Different Words, available at your bookstores or at Amazon.com as well. It's a fun read. Read it quickly. It's a big hardcover book, but you can go through it pretty darn fast. Once you get into it, you don't want to put it down. I'm going to come back in a moment with more open line calls, your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And this is our final segment of open lines. Hey, I did want to point out that the book Night Talk is also available on Kindle for those of you who do that. Lex tells me that's growing like crazy. I'm kind of still from the old school. I still like to have that physical book in my hand, but he says Kindle's doing great. So it's available on Kindle too. Let's go to the phones. Marie in Marietta, Georgia, on the wildcard line. Hello, Marie. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to share something with you.
Sure.
A talk show had asked a question today of, like, what is the most historical thing that ever happened you remember? And I think he's acquainted with, you know, Hillary being nominated. And so, anyway, I remembered the wall being built in Germany.
The Berlin Wall. You remember that. You were a little girl then.
Yeah, well, yeah. But I remember it being built, you know, and then I remember Ronald Reagan talking to Gorbachev, tear down that wall. But I've got 2 points. It's like, yes, a wall was built. And number two, Ronald Reagan, it seems he made friends with Gorbachev, to a certain extent, and look what happened. And I was just curious how much of this history is in our kids' books.
Oh, it's there. I mean, it's there, but living it, Murray, there's nothing like living it. You know, I remember that, too. I was a little kid when the Soviet Union built that wall, and they started to build it pretty darn fast. Those were really tense times. We as little kids didn't pick up on the tenseness, but our parents sure did. I mean, we had the Bay of Pigs, the Cuban Missile Crisis, the situation in Berlin where they built the wall. Those were rough times. They really were. And Kennedy, for all his personal issues, was a pretty good statesman and got us through a lot of that situation. Despite his personal situation, let me tell you something. He was out of control in the White House. He really was. But his foreign policy was pretty darn good. Paul is in Texas, and Paul's on the Skype line. Hi, Paul. Go ahead.
Hey, George. How are you today?
Sure. I'm good, Paul. Thank you.
Well, you have a lot of really nice callers in. I actually work on KTUM 1400 AM down here.
Oh, great.
I listen to you quite a bit, especially on Sundays before my Sunday show.
Yeah.
A little bit about Gorbachev. I'm only 20, but in high school, I actually did papers about Gorbachev. So we did learn a little bit about him and what happened then.
Yeah.
But besides that, we had a caller earlier talking about, you know, the businesses that Trump had to have failed, and if Trump were to become president, he would bankrupt America. Already, America's in debt, as if that's impossible to bankrupt it. But some of his companies, like Trump Airlines, which is actually a Trump shuttle, that went down right after the price of jet fuel went up in the first Iraq war.
Uh-huh.
Trump mortgage happened, and he went bankrupt in that after the housing crisis. So, like, some of his businesses, you really couldn't attribute the failure to him because there were external economic crises
right.
going on.
But he was in the chair.
He was. I don't believe he runs every business himself, I do believe. And I don't know this myself, but he appoints people to run those businesses.
That's right.
A lot of businesses, so I don't think he...
And they report to him.
Indeed. But I feel like politics is a very heated topic always.
Oh, this is going to be one of the most vicious campaigns we've ever had. Mark my word. Watch it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're going to go after him for his taxes. He hasn't released those yet. And all kinds of things are going to happen about her and about him. Just sit back and watch it unfold.
It's going to be crazy. But, you know, hopefully it'll be a good election. Hopefully it doesn't divide the country too much, though.
Let's hope not.
I hope whoever gets elected, people can still stay together.
We all lose, Paul, if that happens.
Indeed.
Okay, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Final text message of the night. Tom, what do you have?
Last one from Meredith in Louisiana. Do you think there's an answer to our immigration problem? That's what it says.
Yeah, I think so. Look, I am for immigration, too. This country was built on immigration. Great people came to this country, and some not-so-great people came to this country, and they built it. My relatives came from the Middle East. A number of other people came from other regions of the world. That's what America was built on, quite
Agreed.
Frankly. It was done. But in this particular case, what we're talking about is legal immigration, controlling that, and you can't just let the floodgates in, unfortunately. I wish we could help everybody on this planet, but you can't. It's not realistic.
But the question is, what do you do?
And you have to control it. A wall is not going to work because, you know, if you build a 20-foot wall, they'll get a 22-foot ladder.
Ladder.
You know, it's just not going to stop it. I mean, if you really want to stop it, you've got to line the borders with troops every mile. Every mile with detectors and, you know, drones and everything. And Canada, too. We love our Canadians, but there's access from Canada, too. You're going to have to monitor that and watch that. But, you know, I'm convinced that if terrorists want to enter the country, they're going to get into the country. That's the downside. You know, they're going to come in on a boat or something. This is a big country, and they're going to get through.
Yeah, I agree with you. You're reminding me of something I want to tell you real quick. There's wildfires right now by where I live, and there's a...
Are you safe?
I'm safe, but it's like a mountain over, so... And there's a water gully, and there was a guy, actually two guys with drones that got in the way of the copters from dumping water today. So they're looking for those guys.
They did that on purpose?
Well, I don't know if they did it on purpose, but they were flying right near the copters.
And so they have cameras, right? So they're probably beaming back to their smartphone,
right,
and they're
right,
watching what
was going
on.
Yeah, and the copters can't get in to drop the water.
Hey, while I have you, tell us a little bit more about Asheville on August 27th, if you would.
Asheville is going to be awesome. I just saw like the other day, a picture of the inside of the theater. Very nice, very intimate. So they're going to go quick. They're almost gone, as a matter of fact.
So go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, click the Asheville picture that you'll see right in the middle, and then that goes to the theater, and there's information for the tickets. But you've got to look for the date. That makes it easier, right?
Yes, August 27th. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And seats are filling up fast. It's good.
It's going to be fun.
How's my band coming along?
It's coming.
Are they rehearsing my songs?
They're rehearsing, yes.
I got to have good songs.
Yeah, you always have good songs.
I pick the songs. You pick the band.
You got to sing the songs good.
Have I so far?
You have so far.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Talk to you soon. Randy, truck driving in Wyoming. Welcome to the show. Hi, Randy.
Hi, George. It's been a while since I called. But, hey, I did a little bit of studying up on the 101st.
Yeah, my father's thing. Yeah.
Right. My dad was in the same, was in the Battle of Bulge, but the 101st Airborne was what actually turned the Battle of the Bulge around and saved the war, as far as I'm concerned. And I want to thank you. I believe that your father saved my father's life.
Oh, jeez.
And I just want to say thanks for that. Okay, now, with that said, we've got to, if Hillary gets in to be the president, this country's done. We've got to do everything in our power. She's part of the Bilderberg, which Hitler actually, Germany lost the war, but Hitler won the battle, because I don't believe he ever died. I believe he, right after that, the Bilderberg group. Wait,
he went to Argentina. I'm convinced he escaped and went to Argentina. And they built him a house there and everything.
Yes, I'm also convinced, and I believe the Bilderberg group is the remnants of Hitler. And if they get in, our country's done.
How do you like, totally do you like Trump, or do you like Trump only because you don't like Hillary?
I do not like Hillary. There's a lot of, but is when President Kennedy was assassinated, our country was taken over by the Bilderberg.
Yes, that's right. That's when it started.
The New World Order. We was taken over at that very moment. This is the chance to get our country back.
That was their plan, my friend. We'll watch what unfolds, and we'll see. I'm telling you, though, vicious, vicious campaign. Jim is in Portland, Oregon, west of the Rockies. Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Hi, George. It's good to be with you.
Hi.
This Saturday, we're coming up on the 100th anniversary of a 1 kiloton explosion in New York Harbor. It occurred on the New Jersey side at Black Tom Pier, what is now Liberty State Park. It was the work of the Kaiser Secret Service. They had, friendly Americans who were anti-British and or pro-German light bonfires under this munitions train, and there was an explosion or series of explosions. It added up to about a kiloton. And West Germany made the final reparations for that.
How many died in that disaster?
I don't know. If people go to a Black Tom Pier on the Internet or Liberty State Park on the Internet, they'll know more than I know. I did hear this, though. There was sort of an institutional memory in the governments, you know, state and federal, and maybe a little PTSD. 25 years later, the country was at war, and there was this fear, geez, we don't need another Black Tom Pier incident again. And we put people into detention camps, I think mostly Japanese Americans who were on the West Coast. Country's got a lot of remorse about that, and rightfully so. And it had a big effect. I don't know the proper proportional historical significance, but I hope people talk about this, because I think it ought to be talked about. It's so little talked about and so little known, and I think it would be good to talk about it, to find the proper historical significance and then we'd all be better for it. And we could apply the knowledge to the times we're living in now.
Good point. By the way, protesters dumped the water on Geraldo Rivera today outside the DNC in Philadelphia. I like Geraldo. He's way back in the early days of television when he went to New York as a reporter. I think his real name is Jerry Rivers, and he changed his name to Geraldo Rivera. But he was brought into New York by Al Primo, who was our consultant in Detroit, where I was. Genius when it came to television and developing concepts. He came up with the eyewitness news concept that is in most local markets now, all over the place. It's been around for a long time. But I remember Geraldo when he was doing his late-night show on ABC. What was it called? Good Morning, Good Night America or something like that. But good news, man, and he's still going, still going. Take a couple more calls, and we are out of time, but you're going to love the rest of the shows we have for you here on Coast to Coast. Doug in New Hampshire, first-time caller. Hello, Doug. You're up.
Hey, George. Yeah, so it was just a coincidence. A while back, I heard you talking about Fukushima and how thousands of sailors have gotten sick.
Yes.
And a few weeks before that, I had a buddy who was career Navy, died of cancer.
Uh-oh.
And it was just a coincidence. I finally put it together. I always said, why would a guy that young die of cancer? I looked it up, and his squadron, VF-27, was sent to help out.
Oh, geez.
Yeah,
was he the only one who got sick?
Well, no, I'm sure there's a bunch. They're not telling too many people, but I came across this report online. It's called Radiation Dose Assessment for Fleet-Based Individuals in Operation Tomodachi. So they're keeping a lid on it, but there's probably thousands like him.
Something happened. That's sad. Sad indeed. But no coincidences. Things happen for a reason. Fate works that way. I don't believe in coincidences at all. Stephen, Virginia, let's squeeze you in here, Stephen. Go ahead.
Hey, George. I'm glad to be talking to you. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you, sir.
I wanted to call in and kind of just bestow a little bit of knowledge I've collected over, with Pokemon for the past, 20 years.
Yeah, go ahead. I've got a minute and a half. Go ahead.
Sure, no problem. I'm 27 years old. Pokemon basically came out in the mid-90s. It started off in Japan as Pocket Monsters. Originally was a manga and a TV show, and then it progressed into becoming a video game and card game. The video game and card game are basically the big parts that came transferred over into America, the video game being played on actually Game Boy, the little handheld systems that they used to use all the time.
What a craze, though, huh? It's taken this planet by storm.
And I think I know the reason for it. I mean, if you look at people my age, late 20s, early 30s, this came out right when we were 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, and now we have a means of playing it again in an adult way that, it's not frowned upon, if we were to sit there with our Game Boys or our card games.
What's the objective? What's the goal?
Really, it's one of those games you can make it whatever you want. You can try and collect, it's basically you're collecting these monsters. They have powers. You make them stronger. You can go and battle other players. You can battle and capture gems, or you can just capture them and try and get as many different types of monsters as you want to and not worry about
them. Do you have to pay to play?
There are pay-to-play options, but as if you want to just play it for free and just kind of do it casually, I'll say I've been doing it. I've not spent any money on it, and I've enjoyed playing it for the past few weeks. So
I'm gonna do a show on that. Maybe there's advertising there, and that's why they can provide it for free or something like that. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.